Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Gear Priority Podcast. My name is Justin, and I am the host of this show. Today, I am going to be doing a solo episode where I'm going to dive deep into backcountry sleep comfort. There's four things that I think are super important for backcountry sleep comfort, and that is warmth, neck support, positioning, and what's the other one? I have my notes here, and pressure relief. So we're going to go over all four of those things. I'm going to talk about my experiences, my successes, my failures, and hopefully give you guys some tips and tricks that you can be as comfortable as possible when you're out in the backcountry and sleeping. Because I know that this is a problem for a lot of people out there, but it doesn't have to be that way. We have the technologies, we have the tools in order to be comfortable. So let's kick it off by talking. I'm just going to lounge a little bit here. If you're watching on YouTube, then you can see that I'm sitting at Upper Kananaskis Lakes here. Beautiful spot. If you're listening on audio only, then definitely go check out the YouTube version. But let's start off with warmth, because I think a lot of people out there, especially since the ASTM standard got released for R value, are just kind of looking at that when it comes to warmth. But let me tell you, there's a lot of other things that go into whether you're going to be warm out on your backcountry trips. R value. Let's just give a little bit of background into that. It's a way to measure the warmth of a sleeping pad. Basically, they take a cold plate, they put it underneath a sleeping pad, and then they put a hot plate on top of the sleeping pad, and they measure how much energy it takes to keep that top plate at a consistent temperature. So if the sleeping pad is a very good insulator, then not as much heat is going to be sucked out of that top plate into the cold plate, and you're going to have a higher R value. Whereas if that sleeping pad is not a good insulator, then a lot of energy is going to be needed or to keep that top hot plate at a consistent temperature, because the cold plate is sucking so much heat through the sleeping pad out of the top hot plate. So that's basic R value. And in, I think it was 2020, a whole bunch of manufacturers came together and they released a standard for testing so that everyone's following the same testing standard. And REI and Mountain Equipment Company up here in Canada basically stated that if you haven't tested your sleeping pads according to this R value standard, then they're not going to carry your pad. So everyone went out, tested their pads, Big Agnes, Thermarest, Nemo, the whole gamut. But and that was great. I was very excited for this standardization. I love standardization, especially when it comes to technologies and things like sleep. And I thought, great, we're now going to have a very easy way to tell how warm a sleeping pad is. But as these things go, I've been testing for the last 3 years now, sleeping pads across a range of different temperature rate, R value ratings, different conditions. And I found that R value doesn't always line up with real world performance. And there's a couple of different reasons for this. I think the big reason is that the R value testing only measures the resistance kind of vertically in the pad. So you have the hot plate on the top, cold plate on the bottom, and it's measuring the resistance of the pad through the pad thickness. But where I think we're seeing a lot of influence on how warm people are sleeping in the real world is air temperature and effect on the sides of the pads and the pad part that isn't being covered up by these plates. So these plates don't cover the entire sleeping pad. They're only about a third or less of the sleeping pad. So you have all this other sleeping pad that's exposed to air and being influenced by air. And I think where we run into problems is that in the testing facilities, the air temperature is around room temperature. So if anything, this is helping the hot plates stay warm by providing warm air to the sleeping pad. Whereas once you get out into colder conditions, like in the real world, I have trouble saying that. I don't know if you guys have noticed that, but when you get out into real world conditions where temperatures are around freezing or lower, or even just above freezing, then that cold air is going to be influencing all these different parts of the pad. And if the insulation isn't good at preventing that cold air from getting to the center of the pad, touching your body and influencing the parts of the pad that you've warmed up, then you're going to get cold. So pads that are really good at reducing convective heat loss, so pads like the X-Lite, X-Therm, as well as pads that use synthetic insulation that spans the entire width of the sleeping pad. So that's something to keep in mind. Some pads have synthetic insulation, but it's just kind of a sheet that's free floating inside of the pad. So you have all this airspace above and below the pad, and that airspace above the pad can cool off really easily from the air, and then that pad is probably not going to sleep as warm as the R value would indicate. The Etherlite XT is an example of this. Whereas you have pads like the Rab Ionosphere, the XPED Ultra 5R series, the Ultra series, where that synthetic insulation is welded to the top and bottom of the pad. So as you inflate the pad, the synthetic insulation fills up the entire pad. It's a very effective way to insulate a pad because you have just a ton of little pockets of air within the synthetic insulation, and your body has an easy time filling up those little pockets, and air doesn't move around the pad really easily. And that's the same kind of thing that we see with the NeoAir XLite and NeoAir XTherm from Thermarest, is you have so many tiny little chambers that it's very easy for your body to warm up these little chambers, and then it's very difficult for cold air to come in and move the warm air out of these chambers. So something to keep in mind with warmth is that was a long way of saying something to keep in mind with warmth is that R value is not always the best indicator. So definitely watch the reviews on my channel where I talk about different sleeping pads and their warmth. You can check out the Gear Priority channel. That's my dedicated review channel if you're interested in a specific sleeping pad. But yeah, that's warmth as far as the sleeping pad insulation goes. But then we have top insulation as well. And that's where we have sleeping bags, quilts. This is probably something that people are more aware of when they're thinking about warmth. Sleeping pads kind of get not thought about as much when it comes to warmth, but they're just as important as the sleeping bag and the quilt. But I think something that we need to think about with sleeping bags and quilts is seasonality, as well as whether they're going to keep you warm based on different features. So sleeping bags have a testing standard called the EN standard. There's also an ASTM standard, which gives you a comfort limit and extreme rating. Most of the numbers that you see, so if you go to REI and you search for sleeping bags, you'll see like sleeping bag 20. And that kind of indicates that it's a 20 degree Fahrenheit rated sleeping bag. But that is usually the limit rating that they're giving you. The comfort rating is how warm kind of your average person is going to sleep in base layers sleeping on a 4.5 R value sleeping pad. That limit rating is when you're going to be uncomfortable. You're going to be warm, but you're going to be alive, but you're going to be uncomfortable. And then the extreme rating is you're going to be shivering close to hypothermia. You'll probably survive, but it's going to be a close call. So you want to be looking at that comfort rating for most people. If you sleep very warm, then maybe that limit rating is going to work for you. There's a lot of differences between men and women out there and how warm they sleep. So a lot of people will say that women should look more at the comfort rating and then men more at the limit rating. But I know a lot of men that sleep very cold and the comfort rating is what they want to look at. And then a lot of women who sleep warm, and so they're going to be looking more at that closer to the limit rating. I sleep probably just colder than comfort rating when I'm out there. So that's something to keep in mind. The advertised temperature is usually limit rating, not comfort rating. And then quilts don't have a rating at all. So it's kind of the wild, wild west out there. We do see some standardization because there's only so many ways you can make a quilt. And the big thing that comes into play is how much loft you have. So that's the thickness of the quilt. And it's the same thing with sleeping bags. The thickness of the loft is going to provide, the thicker it is, the warmer you're going to be when you're out there. So, and a lot of manufacturers will advertise what the loft, target loft height is, whether that's 2.5, 3, 3.5 inches, but it's pretty much standardized across the board. And quilt manufacturers have kind of realized that a certain loft height is going to equate to a certain warmth. And then all it is making sure that you have enough down volume in order to fill up that space and maximize the loft height. So I think with most quilt manufacturers these days, it's no problem. They're overfilling by 30% to account for some moisture in the air and things like that. And you're gonna be warm. If you look at most quilt manufacturers across the board, a 20 degree quilt is gonna have the same target loft height. You're gonna have around the same amount of down in it. With what you want to make sure is that if you're checking out a manufacturer you've never heard of before, or if they're new, that the down measurements and loft heights kind of line up with the big manufacturers out there like Enlite Equipment, Hammett Gear, those kind of guys. But with top insulation, you just want to make sure that you're going to be warm enough and that it's matching your with the cumbere, and then it's going to match the warmth of your sleeping pad. As a general rule of thumb for 3-season use, I think an R value of 4, a true R value of 4 or higher, is going to keep the majority of people warm in the majority of conditions. And then you want probably a minimum of a 0-degree sleeping bag or quilt, because that's going to keep you warm in most conditions. If you're in like Texas and it's hot all the time and you're going backpacking in the middle of summer, then you don't even probably need to worry about this. You just sleep on a 0 R value and throw a thin sheet over top of you and you're going to be fine. But for those of us in places that get colder, especially if you're in the mountainous areas where it gets colder at elevation, then you probably want to be going with R value of 4 and then freezing. So that's warmth. That's an important part of comfort. If you're cold, you're not going to be comfortable out on trail. So make sure that you're staying warm and getting the gear that's going to keep you warm. The second thing is neck support. And really this comes down to pillows. Pillows, for a long time, when I was growing up, pillows were just like, you take a stuff sack, you stuff your extra clothes in there, and that's your pillow. All the trips I did, basically up until about 5, 6, I actually probably guess up until about 10 years ago, where that's all I did. And it was fine. I was young. I was spry. It wasn't a big deal, but I've since realized that a good pillow is going to be, there's a bald eagle is just flying across the lake. That's pretty phenomenal. But something that I've realized is that a good pillow is going to make a huge difference, especially if you're a side sleeper. If you're a back sleeper, you could probably get away with just a stuff sack or like a squinched up down jacket. But if you're a side sleeper, then you probably want a little bit of height in order to support your neck and your head, in which case a good pillow is going to come into play. There's a bunch of features that I think are key for a good pillow. And a lot of the time, unfortunately, this is going to be a trade-off between weight and then these features. But the thing that is non-negotiable for me is having a pad strap in order to lock the pillow onto the sleeping pad. So whether this is a pad strap that comes with the pillow, like with the Trekology 2.0, or a pad strap that you add afterwards with the X-Ped, I think it's essential. Otherwise, as you toss and turn, your pillow is going to gotta be jumping around, moving all over the tent. You're going to have to be chasing it. It's a big pain in the butt. So I like to have a pad strap on my pillow. That's number one. And they're very lightweight, so basically non-negotiable for me. The other thing is the supportiveness of the pillow. So some pillows, you lay on them and it just feels like you're laying on a balloon. You lay on one side, all the air goes the other side. Whereas a good pillow is going to have solid baffling in it, where even if the pillow is not fully inflated, it's not going to feel like you're laying on a balloon, and you're going to be able to kind of move around on it, and it's going to stay nice and supportive. There's a bunch of pillows out there like that right now. Trekology, again, is a great one. The other pillow that I'm probably going to mention a bunch in this podcast is the X-Ped Mega Pillow. It is super supportive, but what makes it great is a couple other features as well. It has a nice height to it. So as someone with moderate shoulder breadth, it's not huge. I like a pillow that's around 4 inches tall, and that's where the X-Ped lies. So a lot of pillows are closer to like 3, 3.5, and that's just a little bit too narrow for me. So I have to take like a piece of clothing or a sit pad and put it underneath the pillow in order to raise the height. And that's a good hack for you guys out there. If you need a higher pillow height, and you find the Trekology is kind of the best option for you, or something in that 3, 3.5 range, then just take, especially a sit pad or a down jacket, chucked underneath. But Mega Pillow has 4 inches of height to it built in, which is amazing. It also has a lot of width to it, which is something that I didn't realize was going to be a big deal for me, but really is, because as I toss and turn, I'm never really at the edge of the pad. It's almost the same width as a 25-inch wide pad, which is very wide. So no matter where I'm moving around, I'm always on the pillow, and it always feels supportive. It out of all the pillows out there, the X-Ped Mega Pillow feels like the one at home the most. The other factor is insulation on top. So if you're in very cold environments, you need a little bit of insulation. You're going to be having a lot of heat get sucked out of your head, and your head's going to get cold. So a little bit of insulation on top, a little bit of foam is nice. And then a pillowcase is nice. But again, all these things start adding up weight. So The bare bones is kind of like the Trekology pillow with a pad strap, supportive baffling. And then the super luxury pillow is the X-Ped Mega Pillow. But if you're a side sleeper, just make sure that you're getting a good pillow that's going to support your head. Because I think that makes a huge difference out there for getting a good night's sleep. All right, pressure relief. This is where there's a lot of nuance and technology, and I don't think it's talked about enough because it's so technical. So hopefully a podcast is a good venue for this in order to talk about it and talk about what's happening. So with pressure relief, there's a few things that I think are important to talk about. And this all comes down to your sleeping pad, your pillow and everything like that. Not as important for pressure relief. If you have a good pillow, it's probably gonna take a little bit of pressure off your shoulder, but otherwise it's going to be the pad. And the two things actually that affect pressure relief with a sleeping pad are the baffling system and then the material that it's made out of. So let's go over baffling system. What does that mean? And in my mind, what the baffling system is how the top of the pad is connected to the bottom of the pad and what sort of pattern that makes for the top of the sleeping pad. So a lot of people out there are probably familiar with the Therm-a-Rest X-Lite sleeping pad. It has horizontal baffles. So if you're looking at it straight on from the bottom of the pad, all the baffling kind of goes in a horizontal line. You have these kind of tubes going horizontally across the pad. And then you have pads like X-Ped pads, which have vertical baffles. So the baffles go from the top end to the foot end in big, long tubes. And then you have dimpled baffling system with like the Etherlite XT, the REI Helix, the Zoom UL, where you have a bunch of little points around the pad where the top is connected to the bottom, creating dimples with lower dimpled areas and then raised kind of bumps on the pad. And I'll run through what I think is most comfortable and why with these three different systems, and then we'll get into materials. Actually, no, let's talk about materials first, because I think that'll kind of lead into some of the conversation around the baffling system. So the important aspects with material is, I think, softness and then squishiness. So you have some pads out there that have some spandex built into them, or they use materials like polyester, which is a little bit stretchier. And when you lay on those, they have a little bit of give to them, which is really nice. That's something that I think is underestimated. I think a lot of pad manufacturers, they're trying to make as durable a pad as possible, which is great. We don't want our pads failing, but I think they need to introduce some stretch to the top material. Maybe make the bottom without spandex or out of nylon that doesn't stretch, and then make the top out of polyester or add a little bit of spandex. That's a pro tip out there. I think that's something we just solved part of the problem in order to have a durable bottom and then a top that is more comfortable. But like the Nemo Tensor, the 2022 version, not the new versions coming out in 2023, 2024, had a polyester top and it was a little bit stretchy. Same with the X-Ped Ultra sleeping pads. And then the X-Ped Ultra sleeping pad also has a polyester top, which is a little bit stretchy, which makes a big difference. I found it makes a huge difference. Whereas the nylon just doesn't stretch, not as soft, not as comfortable. So that's one aspect of it. And then we have the baffling system, where those horizontal baffles, not comfortable. I find that it's not only not comfortable from a pressure relief standpoint. So when I'm laying on my side, a lot of the time my arm goes numb or falls asleep when I'm laying on those horizontal baffles. I think just because they're blocking off circulation of my arm with this long tube going right across the pad. And they're usually just a little bit firmer. But then at the same time, they don't have great edge support. So it's this whole thing. And then you have the vertical baffles, which I find don't cut off circulation at all. They're a little bit more comfortable. They feel a little bit weirder to sleep on. It's not like sleeping on a sleeping pad at home, but once you get used to it, it's super comfortable. So vertical baffles, especially with a squishy top, like on the X-Ped Ultra sleeping pads, is great. And then the dimpled baffling system. So like I said, you have a dimpled low area and then a raised area, and those raised areas kind of act as air springs. So a spring like on a bed back at home. So when you press on it, it gives, and that give introduces pressure relief when you're laying on the pad. And the thing with the dimpled baffling system is that not all dimpled baffling systems are created equal. If you think about it, if you have a little tiny spring on your bed, like a really tiny bed, really thin bed with a little tiny spring, and that spring, and you lay on it, that spring just gives a little bit, eventually it kind of bottoms out and the bed is going to feel pretty stiff. Whereas if you have a bigger spring as you lay on, and depending on the stiffness of the spring, as you lay on the bed, you're going to have a lot more give and you're going to have more pressure relief. And that's the case with these dimpled baffling systems in sleeping pads, is some of them, the raised areas are quite a bit higher. You have more of a bump. And then with some of them, that bump is a little bit more gradual. And you're not getting quite as much pressure relief on pads like the Zoom UL, where the difference between the top of the bump and the bottom of the dimple is not very big. Whereas with pads like the REI Helix and then the Sea to Summit Etherlite XT, you have pretty big dimples and a pretty big difference between the top of the bump and the bottom of the dimple, and you get a lot more pressure relief with those systems. So that's my analysis of pressure relief. The big thing for me is whether I sleep through the entire night on a sleeping pad to determine whether it's comfortable or not. And with pads that have this dimpled baffling system that is thicker, like, or bigger, like with the Etherlite XT and REI Helix, I sleep through the night pretty consistently, pretty much all the time, and it's not a big problem. So moving on to the positioning, and there's a couple different aspects of positioning here. The ability to move and shift throughout the night, which we all do, and then the position that you sleep in. So the position that you sleep in is kind of like, do you sleep on your back? Do you sleep on your side? Do you sleep with your knees raised up with a pillow underneath them? Do you sleep in the, I think it's called the four position, where your knees are kind of tucked up to you and you're kind of in a little bit of a fetal position. You want, there's the pad and the sleeping bag or quilt come into play. You need a wide enough pad in order to accommodate you, like if you're going to lay on your back, that your arms don't fall off. And then if you're laying in the kind of the fetal position, that you have enough room for your legs as well as your, like, everything just to kind of be in that position. So you need a wide enough pad, and then you need a sleeping bag or a quilt that's going to allow you to do that as well. So sleeping bags, some of them are pretty narrow. You're going to be very confined in there. It's going to be tough to lay in that fetal position. Whereas with a quilt, you're kind of unlimited in the positions that you can sleep in, because the quilt just attaches to the side of the pad and you have the entire pad width to work with. So if you have a wide pad and a wide quilt, you're gonna be able to sleep in basically any position you want. And that's one of my favorite things about quilts, is their versatility from a sleeping position standpoint. Because I toss and turn a lot when I'm sleeping. Not as much if I'm on a comfortable sleeping pad, but either way, I'm gonna be tossing and turning, and I want a pad that allows me to change my position and enter into different positions. The other aspect is allowing you to toss and turn. And this isn't as big of a deal, like I said, when I have a comfortable sleeping pad. I'm able to, like when I'm on a comfortable sleeping pad, like the REI Helix, sometimes I just go to bed, lay on my side, and I don't move for the rest of the night, which is crazy, because if I'm on an X-Lite, I probably toss and turn 20, 30 times over the course of the night. It's kind of nuts. So keep that in mind. But when I am tossing and turning, I want a system that is going to allow me to do that without getting all tangled up like in a sleeping bag. If you don't move a lot when you sleep, a sleeping bag could be great for you, especially if you like being cocooned and kind of wrapped up. But if you like to toss and turn, if you're kind of a barrel roller when you're sleeping, then a quilt is going to be better for you. And I know a lot of people out there are skeptical about quilts because they don't want to be cold. It's something new that they've never used. But it's very similar to a blanket at home. There's just a couple parts to it that you need to keep in mind. The first one being the pad straps. You need a pad strap system that wraps around the entire sleeping pad, and then you put those buckles to the edge of the pad so that the quilt kind of wraps around the sleeping pad, and that's going to prevent drafts from getting into the quilt and then cooling you off. The other place where drafts can come in is around your neck. So all good quilts have a neck snap and then a cinch. So you do that neck snap up. Cinch it down, and then you reduce all the drafts around your neck. And with that all done up, you're going to be toasty warm. Then you just need like a hat, maybe a buff, in order to keep your head warm. But I find that quilts, because they're more like a blanket at home, I can toss and turn and roll around, and I'm going to be super comfortable. Whereas in a sleeping bag, I find I wake up and my face is like face down in the sleeping bag, or I'm all twisted up in it. It's just not as comfortable for me. So that's a big factor for me. And let me go over kind of what I go with when I'm going out on a trip where I want to maximize comfort. My sleeping pad of choice is the REI Helix because it has that dimpled baffling system. I get a lot of pressure relief. It's not the lightest sleeping pad out there, but it's also very warm. 4.9 R value. I've tested it out and it sleeps pretty much at that warmth. It you can take it out in any three season conditions and you're going to be fine. It's super comfortable. Then for a pillow, Trekology 2.0 if I'm going for lightweight, or I've been playing around with a pillow that I kind of invented. It's a Big Sky Dream Sleeper, but then I took Dyneema patches from Z-Packs and attached them to the side in order to create a pad strap. So it's 52 grams all in, very big pad, high stack height, very, very comfortable. And that might be my new ultralight option because it's about half the weight of the Trekology 2.0. Then my comfort pillow is the XPED Mega Pillow. This thing is gigantic, it's warm, it's comfortable, but it weighs over 200 grams. So it's it's not a lightweight pillow. And for my quilt, I like to use quilts, especially in three season conditions. I like the Hammock Gear Econo Burrow quilt because it's affordable. It also has an elasticized neck cinch. So if you kind of like put some pressure on that, it's not going to be uncomfortable and it's not going to unsnap the neck snap. And it has a great pad strap system, all around quality quilt. I'll have links to all the stuff in the video description or show notes if you want to check it out. And that's about it. I think we probably should also talk about what you're wearing to sleep, because I think this factors in quite a bit, especially for those people who don't want to use a quilt because they don't want to lay directly on the sleeping pad. I think that no matter what, you should be wearing a long sleeve shirt and long tights when you're going to sleep, kind of like long johns, like your base layers. I like merino wool because they help regulate temperature. If they absorb your sweat so that the sweat isn't getting out into your insulation. And that's a nice feature. So I always wear merino wool, long johns, and a long sleeve shirt when I go to bed. So it doesn't matter if I'm laying directly on the sleeping pad because I have basically clothing that's acting as a barrier. That also gives me enough warmth that if it is colder out and I need to get out of my tent to go pee in the middle of the night, that I'm not gonna freeze my butt off in the middle of the night. The other thing is head insulation if you are using a quilt. I like to just have a toque and then a buff kind of pulled up over my face. That keeps me plenty warm. But if you are out in very cold temperatures like sub-freezing and you run cold, then you might need to get like a synthetic or down hood. I like the Enlighten Equipment Torrid hood. It's a very good option. It also still allows you to toss and turn. Very comfortable, very warm. And you can wear it around camp if you want to look cool. Hopefully that was helpful for you guys. Hopefully you learned something about the different aspects of sleeping in the backcountry and the different things that go into it. And if you've been sleeping uncomfortably in the backcountry, then I really hope that this helped you out, because it's something that I've been working on and practicing for a very long time. This is more for geared towards three season. Let me know in the comments or on YouTube if you want winter sleep system kind of overview deep dive. Also, let me know what other topics you guys want deep dives on. I can talk about gear and backpacking skills and tips and tricks all day long. I get about 100 days in the backcountry every single year, so I have a lot of experience back here. I've been testing a lot of different gear and a lot of different systems, so definitely have a lot of knowledge to impart if you guys are interested in that. So let me know. Otherwise, thanks for listening, thanks for watching, and we'll talk to you on the next one.